Hi, I'm Aaron Mee, inviting you to tune in for Community Matters on Sunday morning starting at 8:30, brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services. Join us as we talk through issues that matter most to you right here in Warren. 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning, brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services on the greatest hits, 92 Gold.
This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
I'm glad that we can be here, and I'm glad that we can go through some of the things that you guys do here in the community, because it's more important than ever to stay up to date with what you guys are doing. And it's unfortunate, but your Facebook page has been busy lately, and from Western New York, missing and unidentified, and you can better explain than anybody else the different situations that some of these people are facing, and obviously, it's tough.
Yes. And there are, like you said, it has been very busy. There are a lot of updates across Western New York with all of our missing. And some updates I have for you regarding last time we spoke regarding Kevin Hornburg. Unfortunately, he has not yet been found. But I did go over our first Community Matters and kind of seen what I told you there so that I could update you on anything since then. And there's been quite a bit happening. So Kevin Hornburg is concerned. An additional reward from Crime Stoppers has now been added as reward. Up to $2,500 from Crime Stoppers of Western New York is being offered for information leading to the arrest or indictment of the person or persons responsible for the disappearance and or homicide of Kevin Hornburg. He was last seen leaving his residence at 629 Prendergast Avenue in the city of Jamestown on Sunday, 11/21/21. And that is also an update. Considering last time that we spoke, I had his missing date listed as 11/22/2021. And since the Crime Stoppers reward has been issued and whatever additional information the police received during those interviews, they are under the impression he actually went missing the day previously on 11/21/2021. In such a short time frame, too, it seems like we are having quite a few 50 to 55 year olds go missing right now. And surprisingly enough, he is only one of a couple of them right now that I know had traumatic brain injury, which is weird that there is more than one. We also know that the two sets of remains found in Portland, New York last September, one of those were identified as one of our missing named Marquita Mall, which she was from Buffalo and was found in Chautauqua County. And she was 50 years old and also had a traumatic brain injury. Also, another set of remains found next to hers, and they still haven't yet identified those since September of 2021. So we're still waiting to hear whether that might be our oldest cold case in Chautauqua County, which may be Patricia Lamahert, missing from Westfield, New York, which was only 10 minutes away from where both remains were found. So we are still waiting to hear more. However, I did get some information last night released officially that Marquita Mall was murdered, and the death certificate through the family says it was pretty brutal. I won't go into details or too many specifics, but she was very cold-blooded murdered. And being that she was 50 years old, traumatic brain injury, also found in Chautauqua County, that is obviously concerning. The only person from Chautauqua County's missing that has not been ruled out is Patricia Lamahert, but all of our other cold case folks have been ruled out, such as Corey Anderson, Lori C. Saibove, and several others. I actually have a list available of some of those rule outs of people that they know it is not, but we still do not know who it is for sure. So
are they still labeled as missing, or at this point, I don't understand really how it works, if that makes sense.
Both ladies are currently listed as missing. They would be what you consider a cold case. Once a case is over a year old and does not have resolve is when it is classified, which we hate to use those wordings, cold case, because a lot of departments are still actively working them as if they are not a cold case and they are front and center. But unfortunately, newer cases do take priority. And some of these ones get forgotten about, as well as the families also are aging out. Some of them exhausted after not finding a loved one for 20 years. It can play a big role in how you respond to the community. And as far as these families go, they've never given up. However, they do not like to discuss things much further than what's released already in media. So we kind of base it off of what I found in articles and media from when it happened. But there are some items I know, at least of Corey Anderson, that have not been recovered to date. And those would include her black purse, which did have a snap button, from what I'm told. We've been considering even maybe taking some metal detectors and seeing if we can't try to come up with that purse, because the cops have done several searches over the years, and each time they do find something. And the most recent one, I believe, was on Courtright Road, where her van was found originally, and they had not found some additional items of hers, but they did find them in the last search, and that included one of her shoes. One of them they had found previously at her apartment. So they know that day when she left Washington Street in Jamestown, she did end up making it back to her home. One of her shoes was found there, but the other one wasn't located until one of the recent searches on Courtright. And they also located her van keys that search. So they have located different things over the years, and it seems to be in the same general area between Courtright and her home. And she was wearing a black leather jacket and black corduroy pants that day. So if you see any of those items or a black purse with a snap, all of those items are still said to be on the lookout for. So.
I understand there was a case out of Olean that unfortunately, I believe we've...
Yes, unfortunately, that was not the ending that we all hoped for in the end, but we were looking for Danielle Thompson Haskins, missing from Olean, New York. About a month after starting the search, it was actually property owners that located her doing a cleanup of their yard and electrical poles and stuff, the property line they had located her. So she has since been found, and we have changed her Help Find Danielle Thompson Haskins page to a memorial page for the family. And while we are on that topic, I would like to discuss that the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-TALK. Which is 8255. So again, that number is 1-800-273-8255.
Is there any cases that we might be able to get some information out on?
Well, I'll go through a list of a couple of the updates and then we can go from there. But I also did some new homework before I went live with you today, actually. And that is some more local to Warren, PA. I found 10 cold cases of missing people between Erie, PA and Northeast Pennsylvania. So wow. I figured, since those are more local to you as well and the listeners, that we might go through some of those updates on my end. We did locate Kelsey Glenn, which is a repeat runaway, which I don't even classify her as repeat runaway anymore. In all actuality, Kelsey Glenn gets sex trafficked. She is a 15-year-old female that goes missing from Buffalo and is oftentimes found in a sex trafficking ring in Rochester. I do not know that she is back home, but the police have checked on her welfare and say she is okay. And then unfortunately, soon after Danielle, there was also a Brandon Forzeth that went missing from Alden, New York, that was also located deceased. And since speaking to you last, it's actually kind of funny because in the same episode with me, you also interviewed Stacey Gross with the smoke disappearance of Damien Sharp. And we have since teamed up and are collaborating, and she has offered us an entire episode on the podcast related to cold and other local missing person cases. So that was a great opportunity. It kind of got our name shared with each other, and we've since been in touch and are working on big things, hopefully, here.
She's telling a really important story. And, you know, I'm glad that we were able to be able to highlight that. And I'm glad that people were able to listen to that. And I hope that people are able to go back and re-listen to it again, because if you see her Facebook page, she's getting busier. The podcasts are coming out and things are really getting to be exciting over there. And it's really amazing that she's able to put so much effort into this topic, but then also that she's going to be able to use that platform to highlight what you guys are doing as well, because you have so many people that, you know, you guys could be able to highlight with this.
Yes, and it's an opportunity that I absolutely would not miss for anything. Of course, Damien being the highlight, but there are so many, and that's what we try to get through to people. You know, a lot of people don't know, if you aren't from Warren, that Damien's been missing since 2002, and we highly encourage people to look both at the NamUs.gov website, as well as just local media and articles and such, that there are missing people locally, both in Erie County, Chautauqua County, Erie, New York, Erie, PA. The more you look, the more you find out. And sometimes people aren't as aware of certain cases as others. And she definitely wants to highlight any underrepresented cases. And I look forward to doing that with her. And speaking on those regards, it's not too local, but it is a big Western New York case. And it is now going on, well, it is cold, unfortunately, and it is missing child. He went missing at 12 years old from Buffalo, New York, and his name is Jalen Griffin. He's been missing since August of 2020, I believe. There was no Amber Alert issued, and the fact that there was no video surveillance of an abductor or proof of an abductor or vehicle. So there was never really this big alert alarming citizens or people locally that he went missing. And a lot of new groups are getting involved to the point where I think soon everybody in Western New York will know his name. But unfortunately, as of right now, we are still finding people right on the east side of Buffalo that we're not aware Jalen Griffin was missing. And being 12 years old, that should, of course, be a priority case, in my opinion. He was in middle school. And, you know, he can't defend himself. And people say, oh, well, he might have walked away. 12-year-olds don't walk away, you know. And if they do, they usually come back within a week. It's now been going on 2 years here. So that is a case we highly advocate for. It was absolutely not as publicized as one would expect a 12-year-old to be. And that Ashanti alert would cover anybody that would not be classified under an Amber Alert if there's no vehicle description. The only other alert we really use locally is the Silver Alert, which is for usually vulnerable adults. We are trying to get that more active and everybody aware of what it is and what its use is, because he definitely could have fallen in the bracket to have an Ashanti alert, which is named after Ashanti Billy, that went missing, I'm pretty sure, from a military base in the United States a couple of years back, and nothing was ever issued, no big media attention, and her family did a lot to advocate for new legislation and stuff, and that's where that Ashanti alert, a lot of states are entitled to it, but like I said, a lot of them do not use it, don't know who is responsible to apply for the funding or the grants for it, and we are trying to figure all of that out, because of course there are people slipping through the cracks without that extra attention, because if it's not issued as an Amber Alert, many times children get written off as runaways, in such case as Jalen Griffin, basically labeled as a runaway, except even runaways are known to return within 2 weeks usually time. Yeah. And being 2 years, there's still no positive or confirmed sightings of him. So like I said, I don't expect everybody to know every case, but it is surprising to still talk to Buffalo people specifically, and even his own grandmother's neighbor was not aware that Jalen Griffin was missing until our group last year. So we had people on the same block as Jalen not knowing this child was missing. Related to that case somewhat is both of his brothers that he has have been shot previously in Buffalo, New York. One was unfortunately deceased. One survived his injuries. But we have no idea if that correlates to Jalen, if he could be retribution for any of those things, or we just really don't know. But I do know that his family has had a heck of a time. I know one of the brothers was shot, if I'm not mistaken, very close by a Thanksgiving, and they all exited their home to find one of their loved ones shot. And the crime rates, violent crime, both in Rochester and Buffalo right now are skyrocketing, and our missing people plays right into that. Anywhere that the violent crime is increasing, usually so are the missing people. And I recently talked to Rochester Police Department that is under the assumption that they probably do between 1,000 and 1,200 cases a year of missing people, to know that, you know, we're right there. And a lot of things play into that as well. Like I told you the first time that we chatted, the Warren and Chautauqua County border is right on the line right there. But if you broaden your horizons a little bit, then you realize we're only 2 hours away from the Canadian border as well. Yeah. So there's a lot of borders, a lot of truck driving routes throughout both. And a lot of that plays into missing people, unfortunately. So, and that goes to show that they can be found anywhere. Marquita Mull went missing from Buffalo, and people around here might not think anything of it and think I would never come across her. But obviously somebody did take her from Buffalo to Chautauqua County, and it's very possible somebody seen her in that time. And we weren't keeping our eyes and ears open as much as we could, because you think that's so far away, but with it all playing out the way that it has lately, it really opens your eyes to the fact that somebody missing right across a county or state border, or even the Canadian border, could be found right there where you are at. So I think I talked to a Buffalo detective not long ago either. And to put it into perspective, he basically told me he has one other detective working missing person cases with him. And each week he walks in on a Monday morning to roughly 20 to 25 new missing person cases. And that is including the backlog of all the people, the cold cases that have been missing way before, way after. And to really put that into retrospect, two detectives to hundreds of cases really takes away their availability and how much they can do. And of course, we do not blame law enforcement, but we do try to encourage people. They do need our help. It's absolutely a community effort, and we know that they are trying their best. Obviously, you would expect more results with more detectives, but when they only have two and they are solving, say, even half of those 25 that they're given each week, they are more than doing their job. But that is still leaving 25 missing people monthly that are not being solved, and unfortunately being added to that backlog of cold cases. So
There's been a rise in crime in Erie as well. And so when you look at that, they're undergoing the same similar situation to what is happening in Buffalo and Rochester as well.
Yes, and that was another update before I get into the current missing. One update I did happen to catch about Erie, PA, is that there was just a set of remains found on Peach Street across from Splash Lagoon just within the last couple of weeks. So that kind of started my interest in finding out who the PA missing people are, as well as speaking with you and trying to open the horizon, since I'm pretty fluent here in the Western New York ones. I'm trying to open that up and find out more. And I have came across these names before, but I never actually pulled out the pen and paper. And now I can officially say that we do have them written down and are going to do some more research other than just the initial. We looked at NamUs and got some basic information. So if you want me to start there, I can go into the Erie and...
Lakeshore Community Services has a number you're going to love. $2,000. That's our current sign-on bonus amount. And start at $1,560 an hour. We offer a 403B, great benefits, and have 36 years of serving people with disabilities in Erie, Warren, Ridgeway, and Kane. Apply right now at lakeshorecs.org. That's lakeshorecs.org. 2,000 more reasons for us to say you're going to love it at Lakeshore Community Services.
Community Matters on 92 Gold.
That would be amazing. And I'm really thankful that you're able to do it, that. And I'm hoping that in the future, if there are any updates on these things, we can make sure to be able to cover them as well. Because like you've said, you know, the line between Western New York and Northwestern Pennsylvania, essentially, when you're living in the world that we live in, it's there for geographical purposes, but for physical reasons and everything else, it doesn't really exist, you know? So, I mean, when we can cover these things that are happening in this area and in Western New York, it's really important that we can get it.
The first one that I have most recently missing from Erie, PA, is Everett George Crowley. And he went missing on April 4th, 2018. He was 52. He would now be 56 years old, if alive. He was 5'8", 150 pounds, brown eyes, gray hair, and a white male. And it didn't have much as far as anything leading up to his disappearance, unfortunately, not a lot of details. So that is one that I want to look for additional media releases and such, and see if I can come up with anything surrounding the details regarding his disappearance.
Okay.
But he has been missing since 2018. The second one that I have wrote down is Jonathan Leroy Heppner, which went missing December 24th, 2017. He was 56 years old then, and he would be 60 years old now. He was roughly 6'3 to 6'4 and between 250 and 275 pounds. He had brown eyes and gray hair and was a white male. And this one had some interesting details actually behind it. And it said that he told friends that he was going to visit his dad in Alabama. He never showed up. His father was contacted by friends in January when he didn't return. His father called Mill Creek Police Department for a welfare check. They found his suitcase half packed and his gun on the nightstand. Landlord advised he never made rent payment for January, which was very unlike him. When he hadn't been heard from by February of 2018, Mill Creek PD issued a nationwide scope for a welfare check, and his truck was actually located in Tennessee along with his wallet. On 7/12/2018, he was entered into NCIC as a missing person. Case number 2018-986. You read the first half and you think he left a suitcase and his gun at home. He never made it out of Erie, I believe is where he went missing from. Mm-hmm. And then they did the nationwide scope and found his truck and wallet in Tennessee. So that is something that I definitely want to look further into. And it was only 2017, and it's a case that I've never heard about. So I thought that was very interesting, being that it was a nationwide check and I know nothing about it. It's not just Chautauqua County. It's not just Warren. It's not just anywhere. It is a nationwide issue. And NamUs actually names it as the, they refer to it as the nation's silent mass disaster. And, you know, that rings true in so many ways, more than one, in that a lot of times you don't know that they are missing locally until you look into them. And to know that, you know, these names are all new to me, being that they are Erie and Warren, and I've never done thorough research in those areas. But just to know that I've never heard, I don't think any of the names on the list of 10 altogether. But I wrote six of them down, and those ones date back to 2000s. But there were also four cases that predated the 2000s. And I didn't write down those four names. But to go back to what we were discussing before, the third person I had written down is Timothy Lee Green, and he went missing December 30th, 2016 from Northeast PA. He was 60 years old and now would be 66. He was between 5'8 and 5'10", between 130 and 140 pounds, a white male, red hair, blue eyes. Timothy Green's residence burnt down the morning of December 30th, 2016, as a result of a suspicious fire. There were conflicting reports that Timothy Green was seen entering the residence during the fire. A search of the fire grounds was conducted, which revealed no findings. Timothy Green has not been seen since. Just by reading that, you can tell that they definitely found it suspicious, and there were conflicting reports that he was seen entering. So I don't feel like from that specifically that even investigating law enforcement thinks that he re-entered his residence that morning. For number four, we have Steven Ziegler, and he was a white male that went missing on May 4th, 2005 from Erie, Pennsylvania. He went missing when he was 34 years old, and today he would be 51 if still alive. He was between 6'2 and 6'5 and between 240 and 245 pounds. He was last seen leaving Barilla's Tavern in Erie on 5/4/2005. He had black hair, brown eyes, and it didn't say any specific tattoos, but it did say he had one on his left arm, his upper right arm, and abdomen. He was last seen wearing jeans, a dark blue shirt, dark blue windbreaker with white trim on the sleeves, and a dark blue baseball cap. Really, so I haven't looked into that, but I'm not sure if Barilla's Tavern is still open, or if that is something that has since closed down since 2005, which is very possible, being all the time that has lapsed. But that would be interesting to get an exact street of where Barilla's Tavern was in Erie and go from there.
Oh, yeah.
And number five on our list, our first female, is Sabrina Mae Kaler. She is a white woman that went missing June 24th, 2002 from Erie, Pennsylvania. She was 20 years old at the time, and she would be 39 today. She is between 5'1" and 5'3" and 125 pounds to 135 pounds. Sabrina, who also went by Bree, was last seen on Old Albion Road in the western Erie County with a male individual. The man is described as Caucasian, late 20s, approximately 5'9", with short brown hair. She had sandy hair, blue eyes, and was last seen wearing a two-piece bathing suit or possibly wearing a pink or red top with blue shorts. She had blue and white athletic shoes. And then number six, there's not a lot of background details, but this is the one that I am curious about, might potentially be the remains found by Splash Lagoon. Again, I can't say that for sure. They haven't even, to my knowledge, released any identifying features such as male, female, height, weight, any of those things, how long they think that the remains may have been there. Those are things that I didn't see an update yet on. But this gentleman is named Raymond Poland, and people called him Ray. He's missing from Erie, PA. He would have been 35 at the time in August 22nd, 2001, his missing date. He would be 55 now. He had reddish brown hair and brown eyes. He had scars on both forearms and a mole on his right forearm. He was 5'9", 165 pounds. And he was known to frequent the homeless shelters in Erie, Pennsylvania. And that is one reason, that was the only little detail I noticed in the media coverage when these remains were initially found, in that they were located next to quite a bit of garbage. And also in the area of where homeless are known to stay in Erie. And knowing that he hasn't been seen since 2001 and did frequent the homeless shelters and homeless areas within Erie, PA, did make me pay attention to his case a little bit. However, again, like I said, I don't have a lot of background details on that set of remains located. And then additionally, there are four other cases that predate the 2000s that I did not write the names down to. But if you'd like to email me after this, I would be happy to send you those names as well. New York is one of only 10 states that is required to use the NamUs.gov database. I am not sure if that carries into Pennsylvania at all, or if they are one of the other 10 states, but that might be why it's only 10 as well. They might not be required to submit them. I did find the 10 missing people, but I see no unidentifieds in there, which means the unidentified that was found near Splash Lagoon within the last couple of weeks has not yet been submitted and is not visible to the community. And that's also important because the missing people's, the case detective usually requests family to submit two different DNA samples so that when remains are located, it can automatically compare within the database and might actually save a coroner or medical examiner or law enforcement agency time from having to do comparisons such as that. One of the problems I know that we are having right now ruling out Patricia Lemahert is the fact that she went missing in 1976, and there is no dentist open that has records of her still currently to compare to. I'm not sure if two family members have yet submitted DNA. That could be part of what's slowing that whole factor down. But I also know we have a few other updates really quick too about Kevin. I briefly spoke to the case detective, Captain Samuelson, and he says since we spoke last, they have also searched 25 abandoned buildings across Jamestown, as well as we have now had a droner come in two different times, several locations between Jamestown and Gary, and we are still not finding any signs of Kevin. So that is obviously one of our most local. And one that I did not get a chance to mention, which is further away from us, kind of, but one that is very quiet, and we're hoping to change that, is Tommy Williams, and he's been missing since February 2nd from Rochester, New York. We've had search parties out looking for him. We recently had our most successful search party to date, where we had 15 to 20 volunteers on Sunday, April 3rd, show up to search for him and Joel Stefani, which has been missing since 2019, I believe it was, and Tommy just this year. And there has been absolutely no updates, not much except for the initial released information about that he went missing. But we've been assisting the family, and there is really, his phone went dead that day, and there has been absolutely no sign of Tommy Williams. So that is another one we are trying to make sure people are aware of. They were also looking for Joel Stefani and another missing 15-year-old up in Rochester, New York, named Jayla Ingram. And we had potential sightings given to us on Jayla and Joel. However, there is very little information regarding Tommy Williams since February 2nd of this year. This is an ever-changing revolving door, of course. The cold cases, unfortunately, stay cold, but there are new cases added weekly. As you can see, there has been a lot happening since we last discussed Kevin Hornberg go missing. I believe we are actively working between 10 to 20 cases right now. So absolutely need as much community involvement as possible. Us from Western New York would also like to send our prayers and condolences to whoever was shot yesterday at the Erie High School, and wanted to let them know that we're praying for them as well. We appreciate you having us again and inviting us again, and We're willing to keep on coming as long as you want to talk about missing people. I have notes, a whole notebook high, so there's plenty to go through. And I feel like I jump around a lot when we converse, but there's just so much to cover, such a short time, and new stuff happening every day. So thank you so much, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click contact.
Hi, I'm Aaron Mee, and I'm inviting you to tune in to Community Matters Sunday morning starting 8:30 a.m. brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services. Join us as we talk through the issues that matter to you right here in Warren at 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning, brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services on Warren's Country Station, 104.3 Kinzu Country.